Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Jason Simon, part one. He'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Jason Simon from Evangelical Catholic. He's written a new book called Mission Ready Friendship, a blueprint for deeper relationships and life-changing faith. He's going to talk about how we can share, how we can evangelize through our friendships.
We're now going to a reflection with Jason.
As our culture continues to become less and less institutional, we need to be mission-ready friends. We need to be ready to meet our friends with the gospel, with a testimony of faith that's going to impact their life in a transformative way. And the Holy Spirit will help us do this. But there are some certain things that we can learn about being mission ready, to meet our friends where they're at during times of trial especially, but also in their joys and their hopes, in their griefs and anxieties, all these places where our friends experience something beyond themselves, an emotion beyond themselves, where they want to share it with a deep friend. If we're there for them at that time, and we're ready to share the good news of our life, the good news of our faith during those times, we can make a huge impact.
Jason Simon, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Great to be here, Father Mark.
Again, this is a return visit. You're the president of Evangelical Catholic and doing great work in parishes and training people to be evangelizers, to accompany people. And now you're talking about real specifics that we can all do in our life, a mission-ready friendship to accompany people, develop a friendship, to share the gospel, to lead them to Christ. Yep. And you open up your book with a fantastic analogy about the Smyrna Beach, Florida. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was thinking about friendship and just how I have so many friends who are awesome people who I've really enjoyed getting to know. Some are very deep friendships, some are more shallow friendships. And the deeper I go with these friends, the more open they are about their struggles. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten to know more and more people at a deep level, I've just realized how many of us have deep struggles in our life, mm-hmm. that are always covered by facades. We go to work parties and how are you doing? How's life? Mm-hmm. And our answer is good, busy, and it never goes deeper. But when you actually get to know people and spend time with them and find out what's really going on, people are struggling in their marriages, they're struggling with hidden addictions, they're struggling with deep anxiety, they're losing sleep at night, they're worried about their job, they're worried about their neighbors, lots of people feel lonely, there's this epidemic of loneliness that the Surgeon General's been talking about. So there's a lot of struggle out there, and the statistics show it. And so, I like this analogy of Catholics being lifeguards for life's waters, mm-hmm. which doesn't mean that we've never been affected or we're not affected by the riptides, but as lifeguards, we now know how to swim out of the riptides. We've discovered, Jesus has taught us, that if we reach out, we can grab onto the sacraments. If we reach out, we can grab onto prayer. If we reach out, we can grab onto the scriptures, and they will pull us out of these riptides of life.
So the riptide is going away from the beach. The water is coming in with waves and then channeling out. It can carry someone out, right?
Yeah, into the deep, to drown.
To drown.
And people, there's lots of people, friends of ours, who are struggling with the same riptides as us, but they don't have these ropes. They don't know about these ropes that will pull them out of the riptides. Yeah. So we as Catholics, through deep friendship, can start to throw ropes to our friends, mm-hmm. And not evangelize people as projects, but share good news to them in areas where they're already struggling and want good news.
And when I at Smyrna Beach, Florida, they have the most shark attacks. You got these very dangerous rip currents.
Yeah.
And so there's all these threats. So these lifeguards have to be attuned And if a kid's out there and is he waving or is he, you know, crying for help? And to realize, to be sensitive to that as a fellow believer, to recognize a cry for help or to be there
yes.
for people.
Yeah, and the comparison I make in the book is a lot of times we as Catholics act like we're lifeguards at an Olympic pool. Mm. And everybody who's in the water is a professional swimmer. Mm-hmm. And at an Olympic pool, you're bored.
Yeah.
As a lifeguard, you have no purpose. Why are you there? I'm just there
right.
because the government requires
yeah,
it
yeah.
or whatever. But if you're at Smyrna Beach, there's a real reason for a lifeguard. And,
yeah.
and those lifeguards aren't playing chess.
Right.
Those lifeguards have their eyes fixed on the waters, knowing that riptides are going to pull people out, knowing that sharks are going to attack. They've
yeah.
they've had instances, I said in the book, of 100 people in one weekend needing to get rescued.
Wow.
So those lifeguards are on alert.
Yeah.
And that's how I think we as Catholics need to be mm-hmm. with our friendships in the world. We need to understand that life's waters appear beautiful and appear safe, but they're not.
Yeah.
And the statistics tell us that marriages are in trouble, that people are struggling with depression and anxiety and loneliness at mm-hmm. record levels.
Yeah.
And all these people are our friends.
Right.
And they're not coming to the church in times of trouble.
Right.
They're turning to their friends in times of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a shift societally. And so all the more, we as Catholics, and there are millions across the country, 52 million self-identifying Catholics across the country. So if all of us start to be alert lifeguards on Smyrna Beach with our friends,
uh-huh.
our friends are going to turn to us in times of need. We will have an opportunity to bring the gospel to
yeah.
them in the right ways.
Yeah. And we have to be ready. We have to use the term, be a disruptor.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I like this idea of a disruptive friendship. And a lot of times we think about disruptions as rude because of telemarketers. We think of disruptions as rude because our kids, we get sick of them disrupting us. But when we think about doctors disrupting a sickness mm-hmm. or lifeguards disrupting a drowning, then disruptions are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're called to be is disruptive friends
yeah.
in the best sense, not rude, but disrupting people's
mm-hmm.
struggles
mm-hmm.
by throwing them a lifeline, which might be our favorite scripture that helped us when we were in a riptide.
Yeah.
An experience of the sacraments, especially if they're a fallen away Catholic. Like, when I feel like that, I go to Mass
yeah.
and I experience the peace of Jesus
right.
in the midst of that crippling anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you go back to Mass, you will experience sleep tomorrow night. You won't lay away. You won't lay awake.
Right,
you'll
right.
be able to trust God.
Yeah.
And there are moments when we can throw people lines
mm-hmm.
and be disruptive of the darkness and the struggle in our friends' lives.
Yeah. I know it haunts me, something Pope Francis said early on, but you know, we can't just wait for people to come to us, to come walk into the doors of the church. I mean, there's plenty of people in the church that we could do this with as well. But you have a great story of it being in church and meeting this couple on the outside. It looked very good and no
mm-hmm.
problems, but you had donuts together or something.
Yeah, 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 exactly, yeah.
And a bigger story came out.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is in the book, but it's honestly one of the most beautiful experiences of my life
mm-hmm.
is meeting this couple at Mass. We were always late. They were always on time. So mm-hmm. we were in the very front row marching in during the Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the second row because they were there on time. And but in the sign of peace, we would get to know each other. After Mass, we would talk.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, we were hanging out with each other in the
yeah.
in the foyer during donuts. And then one day, we invited them over to our house for pancakes
mm-hmm.
and to watch a Packer game. And just over time, our friendship deepened. Eventually, I invited him. He was an engineer, or he was a doctor. This one was a doctor. He came to our house for a small group
mm-hmm.
and met a bunch of my other Catholic friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we prayed together. He didn't know how to pray, so we
yeah.
showed him how to pray. And just seeing him awaken in his faith and hearing about the marital struggles they had, hearing
yeah.
about the addictions he was struggling with, you never would have guessed that this doctor sitting
right.
behind me at Mass every week, who had it all together, had
yeah.
so many under the surface riptides
yeah.
That he was struggling
yeah.
with.
And so the important part there is that you're looking, you're moving outward, out of yourself, to be proactive, to have this relationship with people, to foster that, and just start conversations, right? And stuff comes up, right?
Yes, little by little, And it was a gift to see him week after week, so our relationship could go deeper slowly. Yeah. But there was a point where we'd been talking about work, we'd been talking about the parish, we'd been talking about schools, we'd talked about all the superficial stuff that you normally talk about at donuts at Mass. Yeah. And I wanted the relationship to go deeper.
Yeah.
My wife had been getting to know his wife, she wanted the relationship to go deeper. And so we just decided we're gonna have him over pancakes so we can have a couple hours in a safe spot.
Yeah.
And that's where we were able to ask him, you know, how did you get to a place spiritually where you're coming to Mass every week?
Yeah.
What did that look like in your life? And then we went deeper.
Right.
And from then we invited them into a small group. Uh-huh. And in the small group is when he shared with us some of his struggles.
Yeah.
And then I got together one-on-one with him to talk about his struggles more deeply and help teach him what I had learned about prayer and how he could pray more in his life so that Jesus could rescue him from those struggles.
Right.
And it was just a beautiful, slow process of deepening friendship.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with Jason Simon. So Jason, we're talking about friendship. It's in the scriptures, right, that Jesus wants, he calls us friends. I no longer call you servants, but friends, and to have this mutual knowledge of each other. So, you know, that is experienced, reflected in our human relationships, right? That's a sharing in our friendship with Christ that builds that.
Yes.
So it's very much at the heart of our faith.
Oh, yeah. 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 And even thinking about the Trinity as a community of friendship, that the Father is friends with the Son is friends with the Father, the Spirit, we think about the Trinity as a community of love, but more, I think in some ways, it's a different lens on the Trinity to think about it as a community of friendship, that they delight in each other, that they share everything together, that they share this companionship, that God is love is true, but also God is friendship is true.
Yeah.
And at the core of our being is a desire and a need for friendship.
Yeah.
We experience ourselves most fully in the context of a friendship. Without friends, we're diminished.
Yeah.
Without deep friendships, we're diminished.
Yeah.
Lonely, people who are lonely aren't experiencing the fullness of who they are as a person. They need a deep friend. And so, it's core.
Well, you know, I remember having this conversion experience into college and discovering adoration, and I'm going to daily Mass and confession and hammering it out in the adoration chapel every day. Mm-hmm. I get to seminary and I heard that, learned that theology, you know, the Trinitarian theology, the communion of persons, and how the church is a communion, you know, shares in that communion of the Trinity. And it was like, whoa. I think I'd taken an American view of it, very individualistic.
Mm-hmm.
But our human nature is made for this communion. We image God in the communion. So in fostering that, we're going to be bringing people closer to God as Christians, right?
Yes.
And then let's talk about the Aristotle, these brilliant Greeks on a natural level talking about friendship. And this is important, I think, because this kind of supernatural friendship, spiritual friendship, is built on this to some degree. And Aristotle would talk about a friendship of pleasure, right? We enjoy the same things, of one of utility, we're helping one another. And third, the highest would be a virtuous friendship. Describe the virtuous one.
Yeah, I love the categories of friendship that Aristotle uses because it's almost a pathway for deepening friendship. Mm-hmm. And the virtuous friendship is where really we experience the brotherhood, the selflessness, that, you know, right now you and I are doing this together, but if we spent more time together as brothers in Christ, we could grow into a virtuous friendship where I'm eager for your good. Mm-hmm. I'm eager for your virtue. And I want to help you get there.
Yeah.
And when you feel that from me, then you reciprocate. You want right. that from me as right. well. And when we have that kind of force together as a friendship where we're rooting for each other's good, we're rooting for each other's virtue and holiness, then we have a deep brotherly friendship. Now I can trust you with anything.
Yeah.
Because you're not self-seeking in this friendship. You're not looking to me for anything. You're just wanting to give yourself to me for my own good and virtue. And yeah. I for you.
Right.
And that's the deepest, that's kind of like sharing blood together.
Right.
It's the deepest kind of friendship.
And yeah, you think about the Greeks are just talking about virtue. We're talking about eternal salvation.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going super far into the deep end with this, that we have that evangelical motivation, and this friendship is being built on the highest of
yes.
values, right?
Yes.
So.
And when I have virtuous friends, I have several virtuous friends in my life, and I feel God telling me not to hide from them.
Yeah.
Everybody else I hide from,
yeah.
rightfully, because you're not going to make every social conversation awkward, you know,
right,
like
right.
at a Christmas party, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Man, I'm really struggling, you know, yeah, with, yeah. with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But with a virtuous friendship, when we have a virtuous friendship, God wants to use it to lead us into more freedom.
Yeah.
And whenever I get together with friends that I have that level of friendship mm-hmm. with, I feel the Holy Spirit beckoning me to not hide from them. He yeah. wants me to share with them the real stuff so we can pray for each other about
yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah.
So they can speak words that'll lead me back into the calm waters.
And that's an important part of mission. You talk about prayer for your friend and trying to share the gospel with them.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So we take a daily commitment to pray for them. Also, you talk about being ready, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I talk about in the book is we're in a habit, I think, as Catholics especially, but probably more broadly Christians, mm-hmm. of hoping for the best.
Mm-hmm.
We hope for the best with our children.
Yeah.
You know, we just hope that if they go to religious ed or youth group or yeah. retreats or Catholic school, we hope that mm-hmm. they'll grow up to be disciples. We hope for the best for our neighbors, our coworkers, even friends that,
yeah.
that are not deep friends. We just hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
And the habit of be ready is a habit that you cultivate of being vigilant,
yeah.
of not just hoping for the best. I'm always looking for an opportunity to share more deeply with my kids. I'm always looking for an opportunity to help them to share more deeply with my kids, with my wife, with my friendships.
Uh-huh.
So being ready is a vigilance in relationships that's not forcing anything,
yeah.
but is always ready for the opening when it comes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm driving my kid home from basketball practice, and he opens up about some bad thing that happened at school,
mm-hmm.
and I've had a tired day at work. I just feel like listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
I just feel like putting music on, and I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. And so he tells me about this hard thing that happens.
Yeah.
I sort of engage mm-hmm. it, but I'm not really ready
yeah.
to go deep with him on it at that moment. I'm not
yeah.
ready.
Yeah.
And so I try to talk about some things we can do in ourselves to cultivate readiness. Primarily it's prayer,
yeah.
But some real practical ways of praying so that we stay ready
yeah.
and don't miss these key moments that the Holy Spirit lines up for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that prayer is absolutely essential. Yeah, just to get us in the right spot to help them as well. But so we're going to do a second show with you. We got a lot more bullet points to get through about what you talk about in the book. So we're going to talk about practical things in the next show to help to guide you in fostering this deeper relationship with Christ, with your friends. So thank you so much, Jason.
Yeah, great to be here. Mm-hmm.
I love talking with Jason. I mean, the church has moved now from Christendom, a time of the strong Catholic Christian culture. Now we're an apostolic mission, and he's right on it with a bunch of other people. The Holy Spirit's raising people up like mm-hmm. Jason to evangelize.
Yeah, I think there are so many, I think, important discussions, points that were made. But one that really kind of stuck out was just be ready, you know, having that sense of vigilance. So
yeah.
whenever those opportunities do arise,
right.
A lot of times, yeah, we are busy or tired
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
But again, it's really that aspect of pulling us out of ourselves to minister. I think that's really where we show our Christian zeal, you know, in those tough moments. But that was something that really kind of struck with me, because I think we can all, you know, you and I both can reflect on those people or persons that impacted us in our life and how they helped us grow spiritually in the faith.
You're right. I hadn't thought of that, but I did have a lay friend for me, and I was having my conversion experience. That was a huge part for me. And, you know, if we do miss an opportunity, hopefully we can come back to it.
Yeah.
You know, and be with the same person and say, hey, let's talk, you know. So it's not just not this absolute definite window, right? And sometimes we do have a bad day. Sometimes we are caught up in ourselves, but to have that openness.
And for me, I think, you know, the people that can fit this role or well are grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, whatever is going crazy, chaotic in a young person's life, I always found, you know, just my grandparents to be just stable pillars of, you know, how's your day going, you know? They don't think anything of it, but, you know, they were open, so.
Yeah, I know, too. I remember when I was younger, like in religious life and everything, and Jesus is our Savior. He's the eternal Word made flesh, and we worship Him, right? And I didn't think of the friendship aspect, but John 15:15 talks about, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, because I'm making known to you like all that the Father has revealed to me, that He wants to have this relationship, this friendship. We can look at holiness as walking with Christ, being friends with Him, and inviting others into that relationship, that friendship, to help them grow and develop their own.
Yeah.
Friendship.
And I think too, it's something we can easily overlook, you know, that aspect, because it's easy to just kind of go into church and pray and do our own thing and just walk out and think nothing of it,
right,
about the person, you know, in the pew next to us. So I think it was a beautiful story that Jason shared about, you know, who he encountered at church, you know, just on a regular basis, and how there was an authentic friendship that sprung from that.
Yeah. So we'll send you into that vineyard with a prayer. And we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to give you His peace, to give you grace, that His Spirit may drive you and raise you up and strengthen you to evangelize, to bring others to Christ, and to help develop a real friendship with others. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
One day I'll be worshiping you with the crowd all dressed in white, where the darkness is no more, and you will be the light. The Lord is a warrior, the Lord is His name. Though I pray now in darkness, my God will not delay. Oh, praise the Lord, I am saved.